And now, your speaker, Ray Tenpenny.
I'm going to speak to you about God and the evolutionists. The evolutionists say that the universe and everything in it came as a result of a natural forces operating over eons of time. An eon can be an eternity. The creationists, which we are, say that the universe and everything in it came as a result of a purposeful, deliberate acts of a spiritual creator, and these two have been against each other from when time began, I would say. The concept of evolution had its beginning about 750 B.C. in the province of Iona, Greece. Evolution is the development of an organism, which we are, an organ here, a species, from its primitive state, which owes its existence to non-living matter. I understand a species, if you have two animals and they're close together and they can reproduce, that's called a species. They teach that man and apes come from a common ancestor, which is the orangutan of Southeast Asia, also called the man of the forest. If everything made itself by evolution and even God evolved, there is no objective basis for morals. Go back to that living matter. Now, when an animal died, used to, you see those sort of creepers in there, and they thought that's evolution. But they run the experiment, and they covered one of them up, and found out they had to have parents. So living things must have, living parents must have living things. There is no evolution in this case. All right, if everyone knew what is right in his own eyes, many think they're just animals. Without God, anything is possible. Even crime is inevitable. Theistic evolution, theistic comes from the Greek word theos, which means God in Greek. Therefore, when he claims to be a theistic evolutionist, he is claiming to believe in God and evolution at the same time, which cannot. Evolutionists say that God created and developed the universe and teach that plants and animals gradually evolve from lower forms of life. The first law of thermodynamics says that energy cannot be created, but it can be transformed, converted into other forms of energy. In John 1 and 3, he said he created everything. Without him was not anything created. That was Jesus. So he created all matter, all energy, and there'll never be any more. The second law of thermodynamics says that there is less energy available to do useful work, also called entropy, E-N-T-R-O-P-Y. This law, also known as time's iron, which points to an end of the future when there will be no more energy to be available, causing the universe to die. The idea of heat death comes from this law, which says entropy tends to increase Therefore, the energy must decrease. This universe is like a giant watch which is wound up, but is now running down. There is a law to tell. There is no law way to tell how much energy is needed. When the evolution occurs, when they say it'll take millions of years for something to evolve. Before Charles Darwin wrote his book, Origin of Species, published in 1859, and all copies were sold at the end of the day. He wrote a ship from England free. It's called an HMS Beagle. HMS means Her Majesty's Service, or Her Majesty's Sea. I understand that Queen Victoria was ruling England at that time. So he said that plants and animals in the Galapagos Islands in South Africa stayed there 5 years and took a specimens and went back. Galapagos Islands is close to Ecuador, which had a terrible earthquake recently. Charles Darwin's grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, had no use for Christianity, no matters of origin. He said it's for the being of God and for existence of the soul or the world to come. Who can know them? He couldn't know if he studied the Bible. He went to church 2 times, when he was born and when he died. Darwin's wife, Emma, kept telling him that she did not believe that he would be with her on the judgment day. When their young daughter Anna died, then Charles left God and turned to evolution. By the way, these people were ignorant. Charles Darwin's grandfather was a medical doctor. Charles' father was a medical doctor. Evolution said that evolution removed God's direct role in operation, making God an absentee landlord. Darwin's book, Origin of Species, and Karl Marx's Das Kapital were for evolution and communism. Now, this has changed about Russia, though. Since the adoption of Marxian philosophy, Russia has completely hated all God in all forms. Where I went to Tennessee Bible College, some of them men go over there and preach to those in Russia. Mussolini, I know him as the desert fox of North Africa. His attitude was completely dominated by evolution. He mocked perpetual peace, lest it hinder the evolutionary process. Hitler made Germany conform to the theory of evolution. A professor at Oxford University in London, England, said, "We owe to Darwin that the world was brought to believe in evolution." Everybody in the world don't believe in evolution. "We ought to be duly grateful because his theory released thinking man." I'm still thinking. I don't think about evolution. "Overpowering that was enslaved by mankind. We owe to the Origin of Species for the overthrow of the myth of creation." If they didn't get here by creation, I wonder how they got here. The American Association of Retired Persons was asked why they thought that high school colleges and college students rebelled against the Darwin. They said because of teaching of evolution in colleges and high schools. That's the idea. One of the greatest deceptions maintained by atheists is that the theory of evolution is science. evolution is not a science. Evolution is a science. It's a religion. In the John T. Scopes Monkey Trial, 1925, Dayton, Tennessee, William Jennings Bryan was the prosecutor of the case, and Clarence Darva, an ACLU lawyer, was a substitute. I mean, he was the defender of it. Scopes was only a substitute teacher. He wasn't a regular teacher. Dyer called a 14-year-old boy to testify what Scopes taught in class. The boy said the earth was a hot, molten mass, too hot for plants and animals to grow in it. After the earth cooled off, there was a little germ of a one-cell organism formed, and that organism just kept evolving until it became a pretty good-sized animal. Then it came a land animal, and from this there was a man. During the trial, many of the backwoods people came out to hear it. It was the trial of the century. Correspondents came from France and Germany to hear it. It was the trial of the century. It was on the front page of many newspapers for 7 weeks in America. The radio station in Chicago broadcast the trial. Chicago broadcast the trial, and they made a movie about it and called it In Her the Wind. The anti-evolutionary law of Tennessee said it would be unlawful to teach in the state-supported schools anything that denies the story of the creation of man, and to teach instead that man descended from a lower form of animal. The American Civil Liberties Union has been one of the strongest groups in America. You know, they used to complain about putting the Ten Commandments on government property. They advertised in Chattanooga Times that they would finance the trial of any teacher who would break Tennessee's teaching that man did not descend from lower life. The illustration below helps us to see what tremendous burden evolution's place on change. If a million monkeys with a million typewriters have typed 10 keys a second, all work 24 hours a day, they struck the keys at random, we want them to produce a specific tree as why not creation. Our monkeys will produce this phrase on average of every 41 billion years. Evolutionists assume that the universe will never end. But 2 Peter says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth shall be worked and shall be burned up. Like those people going to live 1,000 years are not going to be a place for them to live. If the days of Genesis were long periods of time, say millions of years, and creation came by long periods of evolution, and the plants were created on the 3rd day and the sun on the 4th day, then how did the plants survive millions of years without the sun? Julian Huxley, a British evolution in Darwin's bulldog. If you say anything about Darwin, he would get a gets your answers, said that Darwinism removed the whole idea of God as a creation of organisms from the sphere of rational permission. One writer said that Darwin made hell a living stock and heaven a dream. That was about 200 years ago, and I'm sure they're not laughing or dreaming if I know what the Bible says. Rick and Carl, he said Christianity is a high form of superstition and will later be replaced by evolution. I'm sure there's not any evolution priest in this church, or there'd be elders looking for somebody else. Evolutionists say that reptiles evolve from birds because they both excrete uric acid. If you're driving down the road one day and a flock of birds pass over, what's left on your windshield is uric acid. See, they like to tie the two things together, birds and reptiles. Mosaic evolution is a concept that major evolutionary changes tend to take place in stages, not all at once. Evolution, to a large degree, grew out of atheism, and it stands in direct proportion to the belief in God. The doctrine of evolution from creation atmosphere toward immorality, when you tell young people they're just animals, advanced animals, the creatures. Evolution is based entirely on naturalism. Naturalism means that the world can be understood in scientific terms without resource to spiritual or supernatural explanation. I'm going to read it to you about Sir Isaac Walton. Isaac Newton, the great British physicist who discovered the laws of gravity, had a room in his house which was empty. Except for a wooden table he had placed on that table, a most excellent model of our solar system, made by a carpenter friend who was an expert in his trade. The model was built to scale, complete with coloring, axis tilt, crank for the model. When turned, caused the solar system to begin turning as it did in nature. One day, Newton's atheist friend came to visit him at his house. Upon seeing the model of the universe and watching its operation, the atheist asked Sir Isaac, "Who made it for him?" Newton replied, "Nobody made it." The atheist, thinking he had misunderstood his question, repeated it, "Who made this model of the universe?" Sir Isaac Newton replied, "Nobody made it." Upon hearing this, the atheist became infuriated and said to Isaac, "You must think me a fool." I put this in parentheses. "The fool that said in his heart there is no God." He said, "The man who made this is a genius, an expert craftsman in his trade. I demand to know who made the model." Upon hearing this, Sir Isaac turned to the atheist friend and cried, My friend, this is but a puny imitation of a much grander system whose laws you know, and I am not able to convince you that this is a mere toy, is without designer or maker. Now tell me, by what sort of reasoning do you reach such an appropriate conclusion? Design such as this demands and denies you.